We're going to go into the Old Testament tonight. That's my teaching, John. I got to remember that. And we're going to look at a man who was not only a man of God, but he was a military man. And he was saddled with a large responsibility. And that responsibility was to take the children of Israel into a land that had been previously promised to them some 40 years before. But because of Israel's disobedience and hard-heartedness to God's wonderful word, and because of how they responded to the promises of God, they wandered around the desert. And yet, in their wanderings, the Word of God still declares that God fed them every day with manna. And there are scriptures that say that their shoes didn't wear out, neither did their clothes tatter away. So even in their disobedience and their far removed first, second, third will of God, whatever they were in at that time, God still provided for them. And the man we're talking about is Joshua. And I'd like you to go to Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua was Moses' minister. He listened to Moses, spent many years with Moses, went up the mountain when Moses went up the mountain. And Joshua was one of the 12 spies that was sent years back to spy out the promised land. And him and Caleb were the only two spies that came back and gave a good report. The other 10 gave a bad report, and they messed up the whole thing. And they went and they spied that land out for 40 days. And because of their unbelief and because of the fear that the elders of the children of Israel brought back a bad report, because it was an elder from each tribe that went, and those 10 elders that brought back that bad report, because of that, God said, for every one of those days that you went to spy out the land, you will wander in the wilderness. And that's how they got to wander for 40 years. 1 year for each day that they spent spying out the land. Well, Moses carries these people through the wilderness, and Moses begins to conquer some of the territory on this side of Jordan, because as they crossed the Jordan, they were going to the promised land. But in what's known as the Transjordan area, Moses would conquer some land, and there would be some skirmishes. You can read about them in the book of Numbers. And some of the events that transpired during those 40 years in the desert, it just wasn't wandering around. They did have some fights. You have the record of the talking ass and Balaam. That's in there. That happens in that time period. You have got some wars where they conquer some cities and towns. You got a lot of different things going on in there, and it's good reading. But Moses gets to the place in his life where he gets old, and he finally falls asleep. And that's where we are here chronologically in Joshua chapter 1. Now it says in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. They had grieved for Moses for 30 days, and after that, God spoke to Joshua, and he says, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to assume the position and authority that I've delegated to you. and I want you to move ahead, and I want you to take these people, and I want you to go in and conquer the land that I promised unto them. And then God says to Joshua in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, then unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's a lot in that verse. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And he was encouraged to meditate in the word day and night. And the result of the meditation would be that he would observe to do according to all that is written therein. And that's still one of the most fundamental principles that a believer can ever learn. And sometimes it's one of the hardest principles for a believer to learn, that you must meditate in the Word. People meditate on tapes, they meditate on TVs, they meditate on CDs, they meditate on what this book says, what that book says, what this clergyman writes, what that clergyman writes, but they seldom meditate on the Word of God. They can go a whole week and stop back and think through the process of the week and see, how much of God's Word have you read? How much of God's Word have you studied? How much of God's Word have you meditated on over and over? How much of God's Word have you brought to your mind over and over and over again? Confronting the problems of life, bringing the Word to your mind when negative situations arise in your life, and bring it into your mind, what does the Word say? What would Jesus Christ do in this situation? What is God's will? What is God's will? Praying for God's will to be done. Praying intercessory prayer for one another. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And the only way that the book of the law will not depart out of your mouth is that you have to put the book of the law in your mouth. You have to put the Word in your heart. It says that you meditate day and night. This is what God's prophecy to Joshua was. Of all the great things that God could tell him, God already encouraged him three times to be strong and very courageous. Be strong. He told him, nobody's going to be able to stand before you. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I won't forsake you. You got to go to the Word and you got to go hard, Joshua. He's saying you got to do it day and night. The reason why you do this is not so you can get a bunch of head knowledge and live your life like an idiot or a hypocrite so you can win at Bible trivia games. He doesn't say that. He says the reason why you go to the Word, same thing that we're exhorted in the book of James, to be what? Not only hearers of the Word, but be a what? A doer of the Word. To be a doer of the Word. This is what God tells Joshua. You got to go to it hard so that you would observe to do according to all that is written therein. When you go to the Word, when you meditate upon the Word, when you study it day and night, when you observe to do the Word, when you take an honest practical application of my word in your life, and you observe to do according to what my word says, then shall thy way be prosperous, and you shall have good success. Any other way, it's not going to be as prosperous, and you're not going to have as good success. You see, this is the result of the word of God. That's why the word is living. It produces fruit. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. See, he continues to encourage him. And encouragement is the same to us tonight. God is with us, closer to us than he is with Joshua, because we can't lose the seed of God in Christ in us. It's born within. It's a new birth. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, okay, so the first nine verses talks about God and what God's speaking to Joshua. And then, you know what? Now it's time to what? It's time to act. It's time to act. God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get up and go. God encouraged Joshua. God gave Joshua the instructions that he needed to have. And then it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people. He went to the leadership in charge of the people. And this is what he said to them. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, food. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. He said to them what? Prepare what? Food. Prepare food. Up and including this time, they were still eating what? Manna. Every day and every next day and every next day. And the only time that they could get manna and they could save manna would be on what? The day before the Sabbath. Because if they got a little bit more than what they needed during the week, what happened? Bread, worms, and what? Stank. But you see, they were living in the Trans-Jordan area, and some of the lands had already been conquered, and there had been crops already been grown. So they had access to food. And this is the food that God's talking about for them to prepare corn, to prepare bread, to prepare food that they can put in and take to war with them, because they couldn't do that with the manna. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, verse 12, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God had given you rest and had given you this land. Now watch it. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord had given your brethren rest as he had given you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God given them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Strong and of a good courage. Go to Numbers chapter 32. The Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, and the Reubenites. Joshua did not send the commanders to go through the post and address them. Joshua himself, the word of God says, Numbers 32, Joshua himself said, and to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua. The other people, Joshua said to the captains, go through, tell them what's going to happen. But to these group here, Joshua addressed himself. Now in Numbers chapter 32, and in verse 1, we read, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle." In other words, Numbers 32, you'll see that the half-tribe of Manasseh is in here also, that they were herdsmen, they had cattle. Now, the land on the Transjordan, on this side of Jordan, when they got to this area, okay, the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, it was just plush fields, well-watered, a lot of grass for grass-fed beef. And they just looked at it, and everywhere they looked, it was just grass and grass and grass and water and water and water and trees. And what a great place just to have your cattle. You couldn't ask for a better place for your cattle to graze. You just couldn't. It was the best place in the world. So they're there, and it's under the leadership of Moses. And so they see this, and they got cattle. And the children of Gad, the children of Reuben, came unto Moses, verse 2, and unto Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, verse 4, "The country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle." And guess what, Moses? "Thy servants got cattle." We got a lot of cattle. And this country's great for cattle. "Wherefore," said they, "if we had found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." Listen, we'd be just as blessed and just as happy to hang out here with our cows and take this land on this side of the Jordan as our possession. And we don't need to go over to Jordan with you. "And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For they went up unto the valley of Eshcol, and they saw the land, and they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time which he sware." Remember those 12 spies? Moses, God said, go in and possess the land. And if you read the record, it wasn't Moses' idea to send the spies in. The people said, well, why don't you just send somebody over? We can go and view out the land. So Moses said, okay, well, if that's what you want to do, fine, that's what we'll do. So he sends out the 12. Well, they see it. It's wonderful. But 10 of the 12 spies come back. And what do they say? We can't do this. We can't take this. And they get all the people afraid. They want to stone Moses. They want to get a new leader. And they mess up everything. And God says, okay, fine. You don't want to go into the promised land? Stay here for 40 years. So we got the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they got cattle, and they want to stay here, and they don't want to go into the promised land. And Moses is just going out of his mind now. He said, look, don't you know, don't you remember what they did to us years ago, and you want to spend another 40 years in the desert doing the same stupid thing? Now we're getting ready close to for the promised land, and it's towards the end of Moses' life. He says, you know, we're getting close to here, and now you're saying you're going to rebel again. You're going to put more time. God's going to get more mad at us. And this is interesting because it shows you how to deal with a leader that just because you have an idea or that you feel that you're inspired by God for something, and the leader comes off to you and says such and such and such and such, it shows you the conversation between the leadership and the understanding and the heart and the guidance of God. Because a lot of times, if you have an idea, or if you feel something's inspired of God, you go to the leader and you say such and such. A leader might say, no, whatever, whatever, whatever. But if God's working in your heart and he's keep tugging on your heart and it's God and not you, okay, you may want to go back and you may want to talk some more about such and such and see what happens. This is what you see happening here. Moses says in verse 10, the Lord's anger was kindled at that time, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they had not followed wholly me. Verse 12, except for Caleb and Joshua, for they have followed me wholly. Verse 13, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all this generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Moses saying, for Pete's sake, guys, you want to get the whole thing going over again by doing this? And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead to increase an increase of sinful men in argument, yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. In other words, you're going to take their place and you're going to do the same thing they did. For if you turn away from following him, he will leave this wilderness and shall destroy this people. And they came near unto him. Verse 16, watch how the interaction works. And they came near unto him and said, listen, let us build our sheepfolds here for our cattle. Let us build our cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready, armed, before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if you be willing to do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and if you will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he had driven out the enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterwards you shall return and you shall be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be the possession of the Lord. But if you don't do this, you have sinned a great sin against the Lord, and be sure your sin will be found out. Build your cities for you and your little ones. Go ahead and build your sheepfolds and take everything that you do, but make sure you do what proceedeth out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben said unto Moses, thy servant will do as our Lord commanded. So what's going on? They wanted to hang out on the east side in the Transjordan area. They were content to do that. Moses went berserk. He said, you're going to put us back in the same position we were 30 whatever years ago, wandering around in this desert. They said, no, calm down, Moses. Just listen to what I got to say. We'll leave our children here. We'll leave our wives here. We'll leave our sheep here. And we will be the head of the army. We will be your point men. We will go first for battle before anybody else. We will lead the army into battle when it comes time to come into the Jordan and cross the Jordan. And until every one of the tribes of Israel has received their inheritance, we will be the head of the army. And we will not go back to our wives or to our children or to our cattle till everybody gets their inheritance on this side of the Jordan. So they were able to say that. And because they went back, because they communicated with Moses, I'm sure Moses prayed about it. And I'm sure Moses said, if you do this thing, it's okay with God, it's okay with me. Okay? Now that's what happened in the book of Numbers. So you know what? For X amount of years, these people were living in their inherited land. And their sheep were there, and the grazing was there, and they built cities, and they had wells, and they had food, and their kids were playing, and they were growing up, and that was their inheritance. Now when you get to Joshua's ready to move across the Jordan to give the land out to the rest of the children of Israel. And that's why when you get to verse 12 of chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, it says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying. See, because, you know, if you just read chapter 1 all the way through, and you come to chapter 2, you don't see it. You don't see it at all. Now, chapter 12 is talking specifically to these three groups of people. Because who's talking to the other people? The captains who Joshua said, go through, get ready, 3 days, and we're going to move, right? But specifically now, he's talking to them. So this is what he says. Remember, verse 13, the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord had given you rest and had given you this land. Well, what land was it? That land that we were talking about, right? That's what he's talking to them. He's reminding them, remember what happened? You got your inheritance on this side of the Jordan. You promised Moses, you said you such and such. Well, now I'm coming. Time to pay the piper. Time to collect, right? The tax man always comes sooner or later, but he's there. He said, your wives and your little ones shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, 14. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and what? Help them until the Lord had given your brethren rest as he had given you, and they also possessed the land, such and such, such and such. And then this is what they say. Verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whatsoever, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that you command him, he shall be what? Put to death, be strong and of a good courage. So what are they going to do? They're going to pay their debt, right? They were men of their word. They said, we'll do it. And then I only told Joshua, I said, Joshua, you don't have to worry about this, but we're going to listen to you the way we listen to Moses. And anybody in our ranks that don't listen to you the way they listen to Moses, guess what? Digger Odell, he sleeps with the fish. And then they say, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Well, we're going to stop there for now. But isn't that wonderful that these people saw an opportunity and they would be blessed with the opportunity. And initially, when they came to Moses, Moses went berserk because Moses' mind is automatically going back to where? This is what happened when we sent the spies out. They came back. They didn't want to move ahead either. And God's wrath is going to come on us again. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to live for another 40 years in this desert. So he confronts them and he's angry and he speaks his peace. But you know what? He had a right to do that. But yet their hearts were pure. Their hearts were pure. They didn't have a hidden agenda. You understand? The guys before that didn't want to go over to the land, the reason why they didn't want to go over to the land is because they were cowards and they didn't trust God, period. Joshua and Caleb, they were strong. They trusted God. These guys, these other 10, and they were heads. They were the elders of Israel. They picked special men. They didn't expect nobody to go over. They picked elders. Head of each tribe being represented. They were cowards. They just didn't want to go and believe God. God said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to do this. And Moses said in Numbers 32 that, remember, this is what happened when we were at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea, the word of God teaches, was only 11 miles from the promised land. They were only 11 miles at that point in time from marching into the promised land. But because of their fear and their cowardness, God said, for every day that you spied out the land, you're going to spend a year in the wilderness. 11 miles, what's that from, like, I don't know, here to Kunchy? A little farther? It's not far. They could have been there in couple 3 days, in other words. They were a couple 3 days away. If the spies would have came back, says, we're ready to go, boys, let's go. They could have came back in a couple 3 days, they could have mounted their army, and they could have walked into the promised land. But instead of that, couple 3 days away, hang out here for 40 years, and you guys are going to die. And even there, he took care of them. But these people, they went to Moses and they said such and such. And Moses went off at first, but then they came back and their hearts were pure. And he said, no, we give you our word that if you let us do this and hang out here, when the time comes to fight, we'll go ahead. We'll be the first people in there. We'll be the Marines. We'll go in and we'll lead the charge. And until the whole land is settled and everybody gets their inheritance, we will not return. Now, chronologically, if you study out the book of Joshua, you will see that it took approximately 7 years for all of Israel to get their inheritance. Okay? So they got to spend time then, but when it came time to fight, they were gone for 7 years. Now, they were able to come back periodically during whatever, but it was a period of approximately 7 years before all the tribes of Israel got to settle down and got their inheritance. But the point is, they meant what they said, and they said what they meant, and when it came time to do it, what did they do? It's a good lesson. It's a good lesson to communicate with leadership that way, if it's a work of God, and if it can be done, because Moses usually, Moses said it, that's the end of it. No, Moses listened to him. Moses thought it through. Moses prayed about it. I'm sure he got guidance from God. And Moses said, okay, well, you know what? If this is what you want, that's okay. That's okay. But they came back. And they didn't come back cocky. And they didn't come back, we're going to do this anyway, because I'll guarantee you that the fire of God would have fell on them in a minute. But they made a promise. They made a vow. And they stuck to their vow. And when it was time to move, Joshua sent the captains through the ranks. And he said, go tell the people. But Joshua himself went to the Reubenites and the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, said, hey, guys, I want to talk to you. Remember the promise? Now it's time for you to fulfill it. And what a wonderful response they had. What did they say? Everything that you command us, just like Moses commanded us, we're going to obey you. And if nobody does something different, you know what we'll do, Joshua? That's integrity. My goodness. If the world operated like that today, huh? They made an oath before the Lord. Shook hands, maybe made a covenant. I don't know what they did. They made an oath before the Lord. There were no lawyers. There weren't 1,700 pages of legal documents that you don't understand anyway. Just sign. Initial here. Do you have any aliases? Sign here. AKA, also known as also. They said, oh, we'll do it. Moses said, okay. He said, but if you don't, you'll be guilty before the Lord, and that's a bad place to be. And when it came time to pay, they did it. And if you read, they listened, they obeyed, and they had wonderful success in what they did. And they paid their vow, because the Word of God says, don't vow something that you're not going to pay. It says, better that thou vowest not a vow than defer not to pay it. In other words, if you're going to say you're going to do something, say it and then do it. It's better off that you don't open your mouth and say, yeah, I'll do such and such. And then later on say, well, you know what? I'm going to change my mind about that. And we can be men and women of integrity like that also. When we say something, we finish it through. See? And we're going to see as we read on in the book of Joshua that there's certain times where conditions are placed upon a vow. And a vow is conditional. And a commitment is conditional. And then there's other times where that commitment is unconditional. Like the marriage commitment, that's unconditional. But there's other commitments and conditions in the Word and vows that are conditional. And we'll see that God covers that in the Word too. So Father, thanks for your Word. Thanks for the lessons in it. And thanks that we can strive to be men and women of integrity. And that when we promise to do something for you, God, we see it through all the way 100%. And thank you, Father, for the blessings that you have given us and continue to give to us, and that we can stay thankful for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.